Father, we have been singing this song for many years now, a little different from what Brother Branham sang it, and we know perhaps it was wise for him not to do so, leaving more to the people to receive understanding from you, from that word, rather than from a hymn, which certainly is a good hymn and adds to understanding in many ways, but we're happy that we do know that you are here, and we see more and more in every one of his messages how much he preached in your presence and actually proved it and challenged people to see the truth and understand that you are here, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, himself is here. That Lord who is Lord over our Lord Jesus Christ is here. God himself, Jehovah Elohim, putting the church in order, getting ready for that great day, the great presentation, the wedding supper. And may we see that tonight as never before. But now, Lord, as we see so clearly by Scripture and understanding from this word, we pray it now become the living reality of our lives to such a degree that nothing else is living, and we can say, therefore, Christ liveth in me. The life that I live in the flesh, live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We desire that, Lord, above everything, because we know that that is absolutely the truth and reality. But, Lord, it must come forth in us as a reality that possesses the mind, the soul, and the spirit, and becomes all in all. Help us to be that way, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, since Brother Branham treated this message as an end-time message from Matthew 13, wherein is found the parable of the wheat and tares, and since he said, even as Christ did, that there are two separate peoples from two separate and disparate sources, and those two seeds are called, in one instance, the children of God, and in the other instance, the children of Satan, or the devil. And since John the Beloved spoke of those who were procreated by God, and of those who were out of the wicked one, no Bible student should ever believe or teach that all humanity came from Adam and Eve as their source upon earth. But that indeed a science has now proven all humanity has only one mother, Eve, as it says in Genesis 3:20, Adam called her name Eve because she was the mother of all living, said nothing about him being the father, but two fathers, of which we know the minority, the majority of one is 99.99 and the other is about 0.1% if it's even that much. And since Paul sets forth, I'm going to read this through and then we'll go back over the scriptures, so just try to get the picture and we'll fill it in for you. And since Paul sets forth in 1 Corinthians 15, which chapter pertains to the resurrection, which is in itself two parts. One, wise virgin. Two, foolish virgin. And all the others, which of course would be the seed of discrepancy. That as all died in Adam, in identical manner shall be made alive in Christ. This, of course, is 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23, because this is an end time message, you know, where it says here now, but now as Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his parousia, his presence. Now, you'll notice in there that they all have an order. And the order of the out-resurrection from the dead is for the wise virgin and not the foolish. And the foolish come up in the second resurrection and they'll be placed according to their own order, which they're separated as sheep from the goats. And to the ones on the right hand, the blessing, you come into the presence in the kingdom of my Father because of what you have done. And evidently they're real Christian people, they're real believers, but they were never full of the Holy Ghost because they couldn't take the word for the hour. And they'll be coming up from one age, two, three, four, five, six, and seven. And then, of course, there'll be the serpent seed, and those will be put on the left side and depart from you, from me, into the lake of fire or the hell which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, every man in his own order. Now, this isn't your resurrection, so let's go a little further, and I'll come back to meet you with more scripture, but I'm talking about the fact that there is an order here. And remember, there's the out-resurrection from the dead, which there's already been one. Now, let's understand that Abraham and Sarah we know came forth. And there's no doubt that Jacob came forth. And there's no doubt that David came forth also, even though we know that he committed terrible, heinous crimes, and it wasn't good. But he was a man after God's own heart, and let any man, therefore, come against God's own judgment. You see, same thing today. The bride, your righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, you never sinned. Be very careful that nobody ever denies that statement, because confession means not only to say the same thing, but at the same time. And that would be not necessarily the same place, because there's bride all over the whole world. But remember, when those few people have that one mind, which is the mind of Christ, which is that revelation, the life in the Word, just throw her right into immortality. So, all right, now there's this first part of the first resurrection, which is the out-resurrection from amongst the dead. And that's what Paul wanted. Now, if the rest of them lie there, remember, Jesus came forth with Abraham and those different ones, and the rest stayed there. Now, what you're looking at this same time, you've got the same thing. Now, everyone in its order. Now, let's go a little further to see some more order here. Now, in verse 35, but some will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other. Now, let's understand this. You're not going to get any body out of anything unless there's a grain. And in that grain, there's got to be a life. So what he's telling you this, what goes down is what actually comes up, but in a form that is not visible. Now, when you plant a bit of wheat today, it's got to come to a harvest or it's valueless to you. You plant oats and other things. But you see, when you come to human beings, and there's the planting of seed, which is by copulation and birth and so on, then they're planted in the ground. But when you're looking at a wheat when it comes up, or any plant when it comes up, you don't see that seed. You see that plant before it comes to harvest, and you're expecting harvest. But hold it. At the end time, there is no further planting past the seven church age message. And what comes up? Not a harvest of grain that's all golden and ripened. Nothing but that. You see the planting of God. You follow what I mean? The resurrected bodies. There's no propagation in the other world. There's no sex there. It's all over. It's all over. There are no children, nothing else. It's all over. So you see, you're not looking simply then as wheat. You're looking at something beyond grain, even though it mentions that, see? But God gives it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Remember, Brother Branham said in the second resurrection, the serpent seed comes up and they're given a body commensurate for their future, which is, you know, lake of fire and all, where they will be in there in a perishing condition. Now, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one flesh of man, one of beasts, another fishes, another birds. Notice how Brother Branham talked about evolution? That's evolution right there. You're looking at it. Not the evolution people think it is. What it is, really, God's evolution is the same as his dispensation. Not what the Bible students say, but what God says. And what God says here through the prophet is, you have all these different areas of that which God created in a certain order. Now, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial another. And there's one glory of the sun, another the moon, another is glory of the stars. One star different from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, raised in incorruption, sown in dishonor, raised in corruption, raised in honor, sown in dishonor, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. Notice how Brother Branham brought that up? You go to your spiritual body, your word body, in there, but when it comes for the resurrection time, you get a natural body. And the natural body is not natural as we know natural. It's a resurrected body, because he's talking about the resurrection, and it's your hands and your feet and everything, but you're like a young person, 16, 19 years of age. Now, it says here, it's written the first man, Adam, became a living soul, the last Adam, a quickening spirit. But what I'm looking at here is the order of the resurrection and order of the ranks and what God does, how he wants to do it. You're going to find that there's, Brother Branham said, the bride that there's a new created heaven and earth, that this is all dissolved to literally atoms of something or other, and it's all brought together again, and there's no sea, the beautiful rivers and things, and maybe there's lakes and things, but there's no vast areas of land, and the new Jerusalem comes down. It's a pyramidal city, 1,500 miles square, 1,500 miles high, and on the top of that is the throne of the Lamb, and above that is a pillar of fire, which is Jehovah Elohim, before they call the answers, and there's no need of the sun and moon, because the Lamb is the light thereof. And what I'm trying to show you here is, here's a holy city that lights up the whole world. Just like the sun is in his glory, there's a bride coming in the glory. As the scripture said, the bride is as bright as the sun and terrible as an army with banners. And that's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got that. Now the others bring their glory in. So you see, there's ranks and divisions just as there are today. There's Almighty God, he's the chief one, Jesus is the next one, man is the next one, woman's the next one. Now, let's reverse that. And not reverse it, but take the human order. God is the first one, Jesus the next one, and then what we have in there. Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. And then below that, you've got the prophets and the apostles and right on down the line, and you've got people that have a little gift here, a little gift there, but every single one is a part of that body. And there's no problem with fitting in and being exactly what God wants us to be. So when we talk about, just wanted to show you here how this works out in what Paul tells here, that in this last day, this last time in the presence, which is the appearing, which is the first step of the rapture, which is the presence of Almighty God here, getting everything absolutely ready, we have this condition. And it says here now, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. See, Christ is the first fruit. Without him there wouldn't be a resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, what we want to do is go to Romans 5 now and connect that with this scripture, because that's important as I see it. And we'll see, so I'll show you why I'm looking at that. And it says in 12 to 21, now, wherefore is by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law sin was not in the world, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, the burden is placed upon Adam here, though Eve was the one that committed the sin. But he never should have taken her. He didn't stand his ground. His brother Branham said so clearly to us. He said Adam actually played God. He played God because when he chastised himself to Eve in that act to procreate and bring forth a child, which he knew he could do because that was the right season, then therefore God had to spare her because he could not touch Adam. Because Adam had every right to her. But he had to wait for that specific period of time that God said, this is it. Now, he did not do that. So therefore, all that were in Adam, because remember, there was nothing in Eve. Everything she had came from Adam. So Adam going, joining himself to her. And he that joined to the harlot is one flesh. And she played the harlot. She played the prostitute. And you know she played the prostitute because she tried to get a gain by going to the devil. The devil said, my dear girl, I can show you how to make a gain. You don't have to lose. You can win. What price will you pay me? Well, literally the world, my dear. Well, women turn prostitute for pearls and diamonds and fur coats. Even a nice pat on the shoulder. Now, look, let's paste the picture. But Brother Branham said, Eve the prostitute, that's exactly what she was. She prostituted herself. She had a promise. This will make you wise. Oh, I want it. I'll take it. I'll do it. Now, come on. Let's understand it. I'm not trying to sell you a line here. I'm trying to get you to understand why Brother Branham said these terms. Took me years to understand. Yes, almost 30 solid years to get over the fact to use what we call a very denigrating appellation of this woman. And yet he spoke very highly of her. And he said if God could have given a man something better than a wife, he would have done it. So all right, now we're looking at the picture. So Adam messed up. He did not need to. That's why there's a second Adam who's a quickening spirit. Adam sold out all these souls. Jesus came right by and revived, brought him right back, setting his Holy Spirit upon him, getting ready for a resurrection, and by that very thing guaranteeing a resurrection, and by that very thing bringing about a resurrection. See? So, now let's watch carefully here. It says here, for as by one man's sin entered the world. And over here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which I read, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead, and also from out amongst the dead is the first resurrection." So, nevertheless, the death reigned from Adam to Moses. So on. Now watch, in verse 15. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Therefore, by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now watch. Even so, by the righteousness of one man, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ." Now, you can find right here that from the scripture we have read the first verses, which we read in Romans 12 to 14. Then we went to 15 to 21. You can see there's a difference. The first three verses I read target sin 100%. And nothing is mentioned in any other category except in condemnation due to sin, which this man allowed to come into the world and fostered and became a carrier of death. But the next verses talk about death and grace, or sin and grace, and death and life. One is sin bringing death, the other is sin with grace bringing life. And you notice where it says all men in the first three verses. The word all is only used in the next several verses as applied to many. It does not say everybody, it says many, which in the Greek would be the many. In other words, a limited atonement. There was no atonement for Cain. Had there been actually an atonement for Cain, he would have had something in there to respond for it, because the deep calleth to a deep, and you can't have anything out there unless there's something in here that wants it. So there's nothing in him to want it. You follow me? That's your answer. You can't deny it. That's from the prophet William Branham, "Thus saith the Lord." Deep calleth to deep. And he was telling you, if you didn't have representation back there, you haven't got it now. If you got something in here calling, it's out there to take care of it. And it will. That's why you're singing that little chorus tonight on thirst. Brother Branham dearly loved that little sermon he preached on thirst. He dearly loved it, because he was talking about the fact of the inner man, of the Christ in us, the one that you feed by the Word of God, laying it all out before us, which was a wonderful job that he did. So you can see these verses itself. It says up here, it talks about all men died. They all died in Adam. Every single one did. Every single one died. The soul never died. He kept propagating. It was the bodies that died. That's why we're sealed into the resurrection. And it has to be that way, or it'd be out there in a spirit body, which belongs to us eternally. You can't get rid of it. It's ours. There's no way we can be denied it. No way. Then you come back in a resurrection. And it's sealed into the redemption of the body, not the soul. See? Soul couldn't sin in the first place. That which is born of God cannot sin. There's no way. There's no way a true child of God can disbelieve. We're talking now about the wise virgin, because she's been born again, truly baptized, Holy Ghost. The other just saved, justified, sanctified, but never go on to reality, because they don't have the word to take the infilling, because the word is a conduit. It's a bucket that carries the water. there, look at, as John the Baptist was a light to the light, there's a bucket within a bucket. The body's the bucket that contains a bucket. See, so you light within the light, the same thing there. So he's going on here, And he says, by one man, for the many, for the many. And then down here, it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the many. You don't make God such a lousy grammarian and so poor in language that he's talking about one person and suddenly without telling you anything, he's talking about 101 people. He's talking about the many. The many. And this is the book of Romans now, mind you, which goes to Romans 8, predestination, and goes to Romans 9, which is heavy, heavy predestination. See? Which goes on to 10 and 11 and tells Israel's not all Israel. Neither are virgins all wise virgins. And neither is the church all wise virgins, and all unwise virgins are foolish. Ha-ha, serpent seeds in there too. See the discrepancy. So I hope you get the picture we're talking about here. And understand a little more about the seed of discrepancy and what's happening in this hour of judgment, which is absolutely there. Now there's a natural election as well as a spiritual. Because when you talk about Jesus, Peter talks about him as being elect. Now the natural election is where you read for yourself in the book of Luke, fourth chapter, verse 28 and 38, Matthew 1 and 1:16 and 17. You will find that in one genealogy, the genealogy goes all the way back to Adam, which was the Son of God. The other genealogy starts with Abraham. But if you get as far as Abraham, you've got to go all the way back to God. That's why Israel said, we're of Abraham. And he said, if you're of Abraham's children, you recognize me. Why? Because they'd have gone right back to God. You understand what I'm saying? They would have to go right back to God. How could a child of God be anything but a child of God? So I got a dog. He's a dog. Comes to me. I'm not a child of God. What are you? Merciful God, don't even come near me. You might breathe on me and contaminate me. What a pitiful thing. That's why the Word of God says, he said, the oxen knows his master's crib. The birds of the air know how to fly. But he said, my people, oh God, help me. People know nothing. Those birds were smart, those Pharisees. Now we go to Abraham. You get back to Abraham, you get back to God. But all Israel is not Israel. And they forget about Ishmael. He's also a child of Abraham. But remember, the children of the desolate, no husband, are far more numerous than she that hath a husband. The world church, which can't produce anything, promises, can produce nothing. Opening wide the gates to hell for the poor people that think they're receiving something. So one goes all the way back to Adam, who is the Son of God. Now what I'm pointing at is this. Jesus was in that genealogy. According to the flesh, he went plumb back to God. He's mentioned there all through the book. You can't find one trace of the genealogy of Cain. You hear a little bit of them in the book of Genesis. A tiny portion. And that's the end of it. Cain was no more a son of Adam than nothing. Or he'd have been a son of God. And if he'd have been a son of Adam, being the firstborn, he would have had the birthright. Because the birthright is based upon Jesus, the first begotten. The only begotten, the great one of the Father. And it's only the firstborn that come out of the earth that are full of the Holy Ghost. You bet they're the only ones that come out of the earth. They're the ones that get the Father's inheritance, sit in the throne, where the kingdom's divided. The Son and all his beautiful wives down here below making one wife and God above. That's two people. You say, oh, Brother Bale, that's thousands. You're crazier than a hoot owl. Haven't you heard that Brother Branham say that 500 wives made one wife? Typifying Christ and what? Get your thinking. Come on, get your thinking. Rev it up tonight. Hey, we're going places. We're getting out of here. Rev it up, brother, sister. You're not going to stand here and flap your wings. You better get a flying start. Yeah. Why aren't you yelling and running and jumping? You all criticize me because you're not. Huh? You know, I'm just rubbing it in. Got enough inside. You won't have to worry about a screaming. Although that's fine. Listen, nothing against it. Nothing against it, as long as not an empty wagon shouting and screaming because of unbelief and disorder in your hearts and mind. If you've got a full heart praising God, it's bubbling up within you, hey, I never disturbed anybody. It meant that attack had made God uneasy if the people weren't praising him. But remember, Brother Branham also, the Lord said to him, he said, the words that you don't speak, or he said, the words that you're thinking, you don't speak, echo louder in heaven than the words you speak on earth, or your thoughts rather, speak louder in heaven than your words do on earth. So I'm showing you here this election, what we're looking at here. You see? So there's nobody with an ounce of intelligence of any description can deny serpent seed because it's in the Bible. And you can't deny the fact that the children of God came through Adam and Eve. And you cannot deny the fact that somebody had to get to Eve other than Adam, or where did they come from? A good question. Well, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. I'm not just a vindicated prophet. That pillar of fire is not God. That's a Shekinah glory attendant upon the presence of God behind it. That's not even Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. No. He's on the throne. The great high priest. Brother Branham talks about that in his prayer. We'll get a bit after his prayer. Maybe we'll get to that. So I want did you see that. Now notice. Neither Cain nor his lineage are in the genealogy, but he and his children are described in the book of Jude. Now let's go to the book of Jude and let's read this thing right here. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm going to just actually take the hair off of some people that maybe they need it. I'll show you something. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Jesus Christ isn't God. It says right there, the two people. And one isn't God. What are they talking about? Thought I used to get my tapes all the time. But I when I went to visit him one time, I knew the man was in sin. I told my wife, I said, this guy's got real problems. I wouldn't take an offering. I paid all my bills and I gave him hundreds of dollars and walked out. I said, one thing is money, but I'm sure there's women, but I'm not so sure he had women. Now he said, Brother Vail, you're preaching two gods. Well, I have no problem him believing that because he's got all kinds. You're committing adultery and messing with married women. Well, you can believe anything you want. You might as well have four gods and you'll have a fussy-headed one there that says, adultery's good for you. Let's have some more of it. You have any kind of God you want. You can get them right in the Bible here, too. I'm glad there's a few people that I know as ministers are true to this word. There aren't too many of them. Got Brother Paul Berg up there in Canada. You got Pete down in Saskatoon, which is good, and that's going to be a delightful scenario. And then we got Brother Terry and Brother Roger Smith down here. And the nearest neighbor we got here was Lee Miller and Brother Brian Kasurik. And you know what? From then on, anybody outside Jack Bell? I'm not saying they're right somewhere else, but well, Brother Luke down there, I guess in Florida. Maybe a couple more. Very difficult. Very difficult. All right. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence right unto you, the common salvation. That's, you know, whatever it that we're heir to. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, there's actually, they were written about. When God writes something, you better believe it's going to take place, even when it's bad. There are a lot of things written in this book here that don't sound too good, especially when they're going to gnaw their tongues in pain and curse the God of heaven and say, save us from the wrath of the Lamb. Suddenly, though, he's an angry Lamb. And they were like, oh, hallelujah, praise God. I can get God through Jesus Christ. Oh, never mind the word. Just talk about Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, my foot. You think that God loves that? Jesus is not some cover-up. He was a scapegoat once. That's enough, and it's all over. He's soon going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords as the Father reincarnates himself in within that blessed vessel. We crown him King of Kings and Lords of Lords. It's a wedding supper. Don't denigrate God, brother, sister. Don't do it in right. Who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord. Now notice, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's only one Lord God, then Jesus Christ is not Lord God. Where are they getting this nonsense from? You don't get a reading the Bible. You get a reading creeds and dogmas in these stupid preachers. Let's find out how stupid the preachers can get. I will therefore put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Hey. Do you think for one minute that God, as Brother Branham said, God saves something just in order to lose it, or just say loses something just in order to find it? How stupid can people get? It tells you right here, they entered into a salvation, they came out. There wasn't one sick person, there was nothing amongst them that was bad. They'd gotten away. And he killed them. You know what? They weren't part of Israel. He wanted a pure people in a beautiful land. And he said, kill all the inhabitants. Don't you dare mix with them. Why do you think we got AIDS? Men mixing with men. See, I got it coming to them. Praise God. I got no pity. I'm sorry. I got no pity for those guys that messed the world up and could give it to me by blood transfusion or sitting on a toilet or even breathing it pretty soon. Or mosquito getting it. They develop enzymes that can take care of it. Just get you and me. Don't tell me to love that kind of stuff. Why should I love what God hates? God should say, I hate your sins, so I'll knock your sins off, now, but I love you and I'll take you in. Find me in the Bible. It said, destroy them. Not trying to be mean, just trying to point it out. Get this stuff out of your heart, this all this gooey, gooey love that God's some doty old grandpa. I'm a grandpa and I sure ain't doty. And said, how could God be if a bum like me couldn't be? And the angel kept not their first estate, but left their own habitations. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. So he's talking about this hour. And the cities about them in like manner, giving the word on fornication, and going after strange flesh. Men with men, women with women. Every such nonsense and bestiality and such horrible things are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, when you see those things like today, the fire is here, like Brother Branham said. The fire of Malachi presages white throne because neither root nor branch. These bunch die, and there's no future except lake of fire, and it's over. You tell me white throne isn't on now? Come on, smart now. You know, you got to start believing. If you start believing, it'll work out. Just take it by faith. I mean, everything Brother Branham says, I have to take by faith, and he shows me what it's all about. And I'm no different from you. Don't think for one minute. This is across the board. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him any railing accusation. Did the Lord rebuke thee? That shows we go to the God to get our deliverance and help. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but which they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. For these are spots of your feast, and of your feast of love, and when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds without water, carried about with the winds, trees without whose fruit withers, twice dead, that's lake of fire, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, whom is the reserve of the darkness, blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, the Lord cometh with tens of thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon all. Notice, execute judgment. 2 Thessalonians, huh? First chapter, second chapter. And to convince all men, all that are of ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You think it's going to do any good? No. The sentence is passed. I mean, after the tribulation sets in, they're going to gnaw their tongues in pain and curse God. So you think this has done any good? No. They don't smarten up. They haven't smartened up now. That's a scientific picture. He's here. They don't believe it. Oh, he's in my heart. Well, he can't be. If you don't recognize that. Little baby penguins recognize their parents or their mother. No penguins, I guess. Not even them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their own mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. I will never forget the time a certain brother said, why aren't you with the big shots? I said, well, I'm not a big shot. said, Brother Branham mentioned. He said, so what? He mentioned other people too. But beloved, remember you the words you've spoken before the apostle Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, going by the senses, having not the Spirit. You notice something here? That this man uses the same word that Peter does. He said, they told you the last day there'd be mockers in the last time. The word mockers is the same thing over here in the book of 2 Peter. So we go to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and it says in here, what we're looking at, or rather it's in, I'll read this here first, but there be false prophets among the people, even there should be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damning heresies, even denying the Lord, that bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now the word there is teachers. Now what is the theme of this whole paragraph, whole subject here in this book? In this chapter, the theme is what? False teachers, right? Not false prophets, false teachers, right? False teachers. Now let's go down to the third chapter. And that's a continuation of the second chapter because there are no chapters in the Bible. And it says in verse 3, knowing this, there shall come in the last day scoffers. There shall be scoffers. And we're walking in their own lusts. And over here, there should be mockers walking in their own lusts. Same Holy Spirit said it. You know why? Because the word mockers and scoffers is the same word. And by extension, in the Greek, it means teachers. And why shouldn't it? Because they're talking about teachers. Then if they're talking about teachers here, they're talking about teachers over here. Now see, these guys here that are false teachers, they're teaching a very terrible brand of teaching which is entirely off the word of the prophet. And these over here, the best they can do, because they can't refute it, they sneer and they scoff at it. Like they say, doubt in check. This is garbage. Teaching the presence is garbage. They haven't got a clue. They can't be like some guys up north. And they can tell you a little bit about the presence. Ask about the judge. They don't have a clue as far as I know. I'd like Bishop maybe sit down with some of them someday and find out. Like a guy that moved into Canada from down here. And he made a statement long, long ago. I think Brother John heard him say it. Why, he said, if we'd only prayed, God would not have had to send Brother Branham. Now, just a minute. Let's get to the bottom. I'd like to have two or three men if I could trust you. In other words, I could, but I won't. Because I got faith in you. To come up here and tell these people what it really means for that when man said that. Number one, I'll tell you, he never was in the message, he isn't in the message, and he never will be. Because you know he's telling the people, hey, we'll pray, and we'll get the Spirit of God moving in this great and marvelous, wonderful way that the prophet had. Oh, yes, we will. We'll show the world we really got it. We will produce positively the ministry of the Son of Man. Where else could they go? Or he's saying, watch me, like this man Laurie from India. He said, on moon landing day, God came down inside of him, and he's God to the people. He's dead now, too, with the rest of them. False teachers and the rest of sneer. If I'm sarcastic and I sneer, may it be that I sneer at what the devil's pulling off. I want you to see these things and know where you're at. These be they who separate themselves sensual. They're natural. What's a natural man? He's not full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, Romans 8. Put your Bibles together. You know, I'm dumb when it comes to Scripture. People can beat me off the wall. But I'm not stupid when it comes to this word here, the prophet time. Natural means flesh. Said, you are not in the spirit flesh if you are in the Spirit. And those that are sensual in the flesh are not in the Spirit. Yeah. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. How? Piling word upon word upon word upon word. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How can you pray in the Holy Ghost except by the word, tell me? Well, Brother Dale, I'll sit here and I'll contemplate and I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't you know that some man wisely said praying to God is giving back to God his own word? What did you give to God? My word, Lord. Lord, I'd like this. We were with a sweet little lady. She sat under Abernathy's out there in California. And I want to tell you, that lady is a jewel. My wife knows her, we know her, and she is absolutely a jewel. And she sat and saw, when Abernathy prayed, a gold crown came on a woman's tooth. Oh, Lord, send the gold just now. Oh, Lord, send the gold just now. Oh, Lord, send the gold just now. Free at the teeth. Fill up my wallet in a bucket or two. Yeah. She saw it. I can't believe it. I do. You say, who did it? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe God answered their prayer and gave them a lean soul. I don't know. She saw it. And you know, I'm glad I talked to her. And she told me, you know why? Because I'd heard of it. I like Daddy Bosworth. You came to him and said, Daddy Bosworth, I've got a bad tooth. You prayed for my tooth. He said, son, I'm sorry. I don't know where Jesus prayed for a bad tooth, so I can't either. We said, well, Daddy Bosworth, he said all things. Yeah, he said, but just a minute. I just say with his all things. But tell you what, you got a radical mastoid? You got no eardrum? You got no ear bones? Yeah. Well, I can pray for that, and son, you will get it. And they got it. Why? Because Jesus prayed for this. Now, you feel like praising the Lord and singing and shouting, I could dance around, bless God, leading you to Hallelujah Marsh. There's nothing dead about me. You guys just think so. I'm the teacher. You don't teach by running up and down the aisles and screaming and getting the march going. You teach by this word here, hopefully anointed by the Holy Ghost. That doesn't fall upon deaf ears and gets people looking to the Lord. Yeah, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now, there's Mr. Jones with his adultery and fornications and polygamy. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Ha ha! 2 Thessalonians. You and I didn't even know what was happening, did we? Nobody did. If the prophet hadn't have told us and we were seed to receive it, we wouldn't have an idea what went on with that man. Because always God reveals himself and vindicates himself to the prophet. He vindicates the prophet to the people, and then the people have the vindicated word, and then the prophet stands back and explains it. And after him comes the anointed fivefold ministry. And after that come all the rest, and they become glad vessels spreading the good news. Yeah. Yep. New wine poured into new bottles. Yep. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. The same one he said over here. The wise God. So there you're looking at this thing, what I'm talking about here. Okay. It is now time for the burning of the tares and the gathering wheat into the garner. Now, at that time, which is this time, we are in the fulfillment of Luke 17 and verse 30, which is the manifestation of the Son of Man, the days of the Son of Man come again. And with that, we go back to page 28, which I read before. And I'm going to go back now to just three little lines in 92. And Brother Branham is talking about this great ministry of the Son of Man. And he said, you said just before it happens, that's a Sodom and Gomorrah condition, the catching of the bride, the burning down. It'll be just like the fire fell in Sodom and burned up the Gentile word. And there would come a revelation again of the Son of Man, just like it was in Sodom, Father. May the people not miss it. And the people say, right now, what do you mean, a revelation? Well, it is a revelation. That's what it is. Because the Son of Man himself is not here. It's in the form of the Holy Ghost doing the very same ministry amongst the Gentiles. And then he prays to the Lord that the people will not miss it. And he said, it's all in your hands. We commit ourselves to you to see you come among us. Now notice he says, we commit ourselves to you. And he's talking about himself, and the other people are included on the grounds of what he desires for them, which is the ministry of the Son of Man to them and showing to them in all the world that this is the scripture fulfilled and he is that one that God sent. You see, you're just looking at it. Now, and you said in John 14 and 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. How we know that you made yourself known to the people that you were that prophet. which he certainly was. And that's John 14 and 12, that he's repeating that very verse there. Now, Brother Branham is actually praying. Now, another place, back here he mentions the fact of the Son of Man ministry. And he says here, again, we commit ourselves to you, you among us, you coming. And you coming is John 14, 12, the works that I do, shall you do, he do, even greater works, because I go to my Father. That's what he's quoting. Now, what is Brother Branham doing? Is he actually simply preaching, as it were, to the people by praying? And the answer is no. And you will find time after time, when I'm concluded up here, I will take scripture in my prayer, I'll go over things as though I were actually preaching again. It is not so. What the minister, like Brother Branham, and the fivefold are doing, they're presenting themselves to God with what God gave them and the position they are in, the ministries they have, and saying, here I am, Lord, then God anoint and bring forth that which lies within that vessel. And that's exactly what Brother Branham was doing. And he presented himself as that one who would be responsible for the days of the Son of Man upon this earth. And he said, now watch for it. We're committing ourselves to you now, Lord, for this ministry which is a greater than what you had when you were here upon earth. Now let's watch. We're going to go down the road on these things here. All right. Now, we're going to swing right over to page 31, where we were before. And here is where the woman, he's talking about the woman in the crowd that touched the Jesus' garment. And she said, she's the one that had the issue of blood. If I can touch that man's garment, I'll be made well. How many know the story? All right, she touched him and went over and sat down. Jesus turned around and knew where she was at. He knew her trouble. He knew where the trouble was. So he told her what her trouble was. And she felt in her body the blood issue had stopped. Is that right? Why? Because she had touched him. Now, how many Christians tonight know, according to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, that Jesus right now is high priest? Now, you see, right there, they understand the high priest. And they're willing to concede that. But they will not concede it on the fact that he is not God and part of a Godhead. They will not concede it on the fact that he said, a man. I touched a man. I touched a man. Go and touch any man. Touch a dozen men. Have them file by. Whap each one on the shoulder. Say, hey, fella, hi, bud. And then with great stir of penitence or deepness of a sacredness in your heart, lightly reach out and touch. Touch any number of men. You'll get nothing. And her touching Jesus as a man wouldn't have got anything either, except God was in him. Because no man has that ability. To stir up any gift within us is merely to lay ourselves open on the altar of dedication for the principles that God has laid down whereby those gifts should operate within us. And then it's God doing it. And Brother Branham could not tell the girl a dream or a vision. He said, look, honey, if I guessed at this thing now and I was wrong, and you really needed help, could you ever trust me then? For the hour in which I could give you help, well, you couldn't do it. He said, I don't know anything about your dream or what you're talking about. But if God shows me sometime, I'll let you know. He said, I'm not guessing for anybody. Hey, that's what they tried to do to young Joe Branham, too, to get into a lot of things began to happen to the young man's life. Till he said, listen, you birds, lay off of me. See, he's the high priest, can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Did the people in that group realize that Brother Branham was saying, do you believe Genesis 18 to be Hebrews 13 and 8? No. They said, oh no, Hebrews 13 and 8, that is Mark 16. That is not Mark 16, because Mark 16 follows the words of Jesus. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, lay hands upon the sick that recover, pick up devils and, serpents and things like that, and cast out devils, and all these other things, then they'll happen. That followed Jesus' word, and it was directly a prophetic word that happened. But this is not so. No way, shape, and form, it is not so. It is not Mark 16. That belongs to the church and everybody in the church. Remember, Brother Branham was praying in a meeting in California, I believe it was, and a woman in the gallery, and the baby was crying. The baby was sick, and the woman was upset. And a lady there next to her felt the Spirit of God say, go and talk to the woman and pray for the baby. Well, she said, I can't do that. William Branham is here. He's the one who's going to pray for the babies and the sick people. I can't do it. And she said, I couldn't get away from Brother Branham. And I went over there, and she prayed for the baby. The baby quieted right down. And Brother Branham, as I understand, he picked her right out and he said, you did exactly right. You were led of God. Now that's Mark 16. Not Genesis 18. Genesis 18 is that. God appearing in a human form, discerning and telling the hour in which the Son coming in flesh is to appear. And the Son appearing was appearing without flesh, see? Now, he can be touched of healing or infirmity. He is he? All right. He's the same high priest, the same office, the high priest. How then would he act? He would act just as he did then. Do you believe that? Now, what's he referring to? Discernment. Abraham and Sarah. That's what he's referring to. And he's referring to the fact, he said, who touched me and picked her out? Same thing. That was another picture of Genesis 18 when that woman pressed forward. Because she just slunk back and he picked her out and told her about it. See? Now, what's Brother Branham doing? He's putting them on the spot concerning his own ministry. Now, what's happening is going right over their heads. Now, people like me sitting there didn't go over my head. I didn't notice. I know it today. But I knew his ministry and I knew who he was. Here's the difference there. All right, let's form the prayer line. Let's have a prayer out here. I know he's here. He said, I know he's here. Well, just a minute. Let's go back to page 29. He said, I know he's here. Now, what am I looking for? The top of page 29? He said, we commit ourselves to you to see you come among us. He said, we commit ourselves. No, he said, you're here. And you know what he did? He proved he was there after he was there. Or they wouldn't have known. You and I wouldn't have known. We'd have said, oh, phenomenon. Oh, great. Hey, I like this. This is great. I loved it. I admit there's nothing like Brother Branham's meetings, and there never will be again till we see Jesus. Or he comes back and does what he's supposed to do amongst us. And that'll be the greatest thing in the world, of course, because we'll have our change. And what he's going to do, don't ask me. I do know if he's just like Jesus Christ, he will tell us the things of the kingdom. And I would expect that anyway. So I know that much. Now I want to tell you something else, too. Many times I've told you how I visited Sister Branham when I felt I had to go and visit her. We talked to her, and she was so grateful because she saw many answers she hadn't learned before. Especially who was the one that descended was not using his own voice. That was Jesus himself. That was Elohim that came down. Remember, the Father and Son had the same name. That was the Father coming down using William Branham. We went back and forth talking these things, and we had a great time. And then she turned and said to me, Brother Bill, she said, well, the last thing Bill told me was that, Meaty, I'm going to have that tent. Don't you forget it. Even if it's just for one meeting. Brother Vail, I don't know if it's serious or just one. You know something? I needed that. To reconfirm my faith, never to say anything the prophet hasn't said, to never go back on anything he said, no matter what it is. Because you and I don't know what lies behind it. We didn't know what lay behind this scripture. We had not a clue that Genesis 18 was Hebrews 13 and 8. We never had a clue to the Son of Man ministry. We didn't have a clue to the appearing. We didn't understand anything. We just thought we did. We were carried away with our own stupidity. And we'll show you more things before we get out of here tonight if we get time to show you. How gross we were and how enlightened we are. And so I thank God that I found out a few weeks ago, months ago, that my trip down there was for me, maybe more than for her. But that's how the bride works together anyway. There's always somebody for somebody. There's always help for those that need help. God never, ever lets us down. I know he is here. I feel his presence. I know that he's here. Come. Prayer line ready? I was going to call out. Just pray. Just look this way and pray. Just believe him. Little lady looking right at me. Sitting next to the lady's got glasses on. Can't you see that hanging over that woman? Look here. Can't you see that, which means the pillar of fire? Look here. She's suffering with heart trouble. You believe that God will heal her? Not can heal her, but will heal her. Now, say, you believe that God will heal her? If you do, raise your hand. Now, what's the raising of the hand mean? It means I'm confessing what you're confessing. I'm saying the same thing. Furthermore, I'm surrendering to it. That's right. I agree. Now we're one. Now we're one. That's what he wanted. You know why? Because Brother Branham always believed. I never knew that until it was too late. When he prayed, he believed. He fulfilled what Spurgeon said. It is my job to believe God for the impossible and leave the results up to him. William Branham was that kind of a man. In other words, he embodied all the great things of the men before him. Well, he had to. Come on. Come on. God doesn't cut off anywhere. Huh? You have a baby forming. God said, well, I'll just cut off from the belly button and leave 6 inches down here. Then I'll start over again. Why? You wouldn't think God would be that ridiculous, would you? Well, he isn't. He isn't. Everything from the ages building up from the feet. Nothing's taken away. And that which was taken away at the end time has all been added. And anything in the genes that were wrong have been corrected. We're going to bring forth a beautiful, pure bride, glorious within and without. That's right. Now, if that was your trouble, raise up your hand. So she's confessing and surrendering. So that people can see. Raise up your hand like that. Now, you don't have it anymore. Told her flat. You have it. She said, just raise your hand. How easy. He said, if you only believed who I am, you'd all be healed. Said it twice, once in Florida, and the other time it's on the tape. My wife heard it the first time. I forgot if I did hear it. She reminded me, and then we found it on the tape. Just think, you'd all be healed. But you know something? Years ago, well, not years ago. Yeah, years ago, Brother Branham was with us. And he was the voice of God to lead us. You know, the shepherd puts his sheep forth and he leads them and the sheep hear the voice. And that's good. There's a voice in front of us leading us, but not anymore. The voice is behind us. The scripture now applies that said, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the path, walk ye therein. Just keep going. Just keep moving. Keep moving with this word. And at any time you need correcting, believe me, you'll be corrected. Say, oh, hold it, hold it, hold it. It'll come right from the voice that God used that is stilled in death, but is right here in print and on records. Don't worry. You were in safe hands tonight. No man will pluck us out of the hands of God. Now, your faith has made you well. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Genesis 18. Oh, there is a discrepancy. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice he's right back there, the discrepancy. There's another voice instead of Genesis 18. There's a little bunch of people. There's a presbyter, there's a president, and there's a pope, and there's a metropolitan, and there's this, and there's that, and there's a body of presbyters and deacons, and there's a conference, and there's a congregation, and there's the covenant keepers, and there's the full gospel businessmen, and there's the fishers of men, and there's this, and there's that, and there's this guy in Canada. Let's all come together. Ho, 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 we'll hear the voice of God. In fact, we'll be the voice of God. Tell me, what's the difference between the Pope claiming to be the voice of God and a bunch of businessmen saying the same thing? Except one thing, the Pope doesn't have to worry anybody else says he's got the rap on him. The rest of these idiots have to sit there and batter back and forth till they come to some consensus between, well, anything really goes, bless God, as long as I get my way, you can have yours too. How about that, Lord? Never heard you. I just want to let you know how foolish this whole thing is. I don't feel extra spiritual talking this way. Don't think 1 minute. Oh, there's a discrepancy. It's out of order. There's a variable. There's a chameleon. And the chameleon is part of the reptile family. Change colors anytime necessary. Change your creed and dogma like the poor little old lady down south. She hated divorce and remarriage, but her lovely sister had to divorce the lousy scum she was living with. And now it's time to marry somebody else because she's a lovely girl. She said, Sister Abel, we have to change our doctrine. Well, let's change the sentence of death and let's live forever. Hallelujah. I don't want that. I want to live on the other side. Now, this lady, as far as I know her, saw my life. Just a woman standing here and got a prayer card. Don't know where. I don't know whether you were going to be called out or to be called or not. Someone gave you a prayer card, your number calls. You came up here. I have no way of knowing you, who you are, where you came from, what you want, nothing about you. Just a man. You're a woman. That's right. The same picture as the Bible, John chapter 4. Now, what did Brother Branham do a while ago? I just pulled over in that little gear. Now, the thing is this, can these people change their gears? Which means, can they repent? Now, that's the whole thing you're looking at. This man is not standing up here simply a spectacle and showing you God can do it because anybody knows God can. The next thing is will. Yes, sir, God willed because he did. Now, what's it all about? To change the mind. There's one message to the Laodicean age, and it's to every age. Repent, repent, repent. Get back to the original faith. So these people are called upon to repent. See? That's what he's looking at. See? Get in that gear. See, I don't know. He has to do it. I don't know. How did that woman out there? I never saw her in her life. Total stranger. I believe it was a woman. Who is the person that was healed out there in the audience? Yeah. Are we strangers? Is that right? What's she doing? Wave her hand. She's confessing again. Telling the truth. See, I never saw the woman. She's sitting there bleeding. Now she touched something, didn't she? It would do no good to touch me. Now, but now, can't you see that the Bible is exactly the Word of God? Now, you say, yeah, Brother Branham, that's exactly right. I believe 100% down. He said, no, hold it, hold it, hold it. I wasn't meaning that. How often I read the prophet according to my own stupid understanding. How often I read him according to what I thought I knew. Until one day I realized, that's before he died, thank God, he's not talking my language and I'm not talking his. We better get an interpreter or somebody here to help us. And that's when the Holy Spirit stepped in. And that's the only time the Holy Spirit will step in, is when you begin to make up your mind you don't know, but God does, and the prophet knows, because he's God's manly vindicator. So he says here now, can't you see that's exactly the Word of God? What Word of God? Sodom and Gomorrah condition and Genesis 18. God in human flesh discerning and talking to this people. Are you a seed of discrepancy like the chapter 8 and the 6, 7, and 8 in the book of John? Or are you a true seed of Almighty God? The judgment right there, the Word separating, because God is the Word. Separating. Absolutely separating. Matthew chapter 24. Luke 17. Caught away in a rapture. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's your 13 and 8. Genesis 18. We become tabernacles of that Holy Spirit which is Christ. In other words, if you don't see that, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Confess it. Watch God come into your life. You people sitting here, you're in doubt tonight whether you have the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you honestly, before God, confess this? Then you will receive the Holy Ghost. And don't try to kid yourself or anybody else. Because he says right here, we become tabernacles. You know you are. You know you're part of God. Nothing outside this message comes to land. Hebrews 13:8, Genesis 18. Well, you know, how many times I've got that? How many times I've done it? But you see, when you believe, the Bible opens up. You get the answer. That's the real seed. Now, the real seed is Holy Spirit. If you're a part of God, you have the Holy Spirit. Not the baptism, but the genuine seed in there. Then if that real Holy Spirit gets into the real seed of the Word, that's the conduit, just won't take part of it because the devil uses that. You've got to take it all, see every word of it, because he's not half God, he's all God. You remember that saying, he's Lord of all or he's Lord of nothing. You see, they're going to eat their own words. By your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. I can tell you flat, he is Lord of all, but not necessarily in my life. I certainly wish he were. I wish I'd say like Brother Branham, I always do what I want. I always want to please him and I do. Oh my God. I think I got a lot to look forward to on the back side of the ledger if you'd want to know the truth. I'm figuring myself too pleasing. I would hope that I was a little bit pleasing. Give him a little tiny bit of glory somewhere. And that's what takes place. See, and that's what takes place. See and hear. He becomes all God to you. Who's he talking about? The one that's there. The one in Genesis 18. The living God. The person. See, my, we should be screaming right now with joy. Nobody's against emotion. I just keep myself in check because I wouldn't know where to stop, I don't think. I don't know. See? Now here's a woman. Never saw her. Jesus found a woman just like this, and maybe not the same condition, I don't know. He was at the well, he had to go down to Samaria. We find out Samaria was under the hill. Or he's going down Jericho, rather, went around by Samaria in the city of Sychar, sat down by the well, sent his disciples away for food. How many races of people in the world? Ham, Shem, and Japheth people. And came Noah. Remember, Noah was the last perfect man. How did the serpents eat Noah? Through the women. So I don't understand that. Well, how did the serpent seed come in the beginning? To the woman. That's flesh. Every flesh should be like Adam's and Eve's, but it wasn't. Thank God the Holy Ghost is going to give us the real flesh and glorify to them. See? We all come from Noah. The rest of the world is destroyed at that time. Only three races of people, Gentile and Samaritans, they have Jew and Gentile. That's all the world, see? Jew, Gentile, Samaritan. Everything in God in perfect three, just like these three I was talking tonight. Three stages of discrepancy, three stages of the Word made flesh and so forth. Now he talked to Jews, told Philip when he brought up Nathanael. Told him where he was. I saw him under the tree. Andrew brought Peter. Your name is Simon. You'll be called Peter now on. Said you're the son of Jonas now. That was all Jews. Before he goes to Gentiles, not a Gentile, but a Samaritan. Now is the Gentile time. He never performed that one time to Gentiles. Search the scriptures. But he promised in Luke 22 that he would do it just before the coming. Now, I looked to see if I could find that, but I don't know if I did any good or not. I looked at Luke 22, and the 24 to 27 might be it, I don't know. And there was also a strife among them which should be the greatest. That wouldn't do it either. The Gentiles exercise lordship. Well, maybe it is, but he said, you'll not be that way with but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, he that is chief, as he that doth serve, or whether it's greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth. And maybe that's what he had to talk about there, or it may be down a little further, I don't know. I could not find what Brother Branham was saying, but I do know where I can find what I need, based on what he said, and that's over in Matthew 12, which we'll look at in just a minute. But he sat down there, half Jew, half Gentile woman. He said, woman, bring a drink. She said, why, you wouldn't so much as ask me. We've got segregation here. You're a Jew, I'm Samaritan. But he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink. What was he doing? Contacting her spirit. As soon as he found what her trouble was, well, he told her to go to her husband. She said she didn't have any. He said, that's right, you've already had five. Now, see, right away, people say, well, now, just a minute. Brother Branham, why would Brother Branham say he was contacting the Spirit? Because he wasn't God. He was a prophet. God was in him. That made no difference. That made no difference. He could only say what the Father told him to say and do what the Father told him to do, so he had to stand still and contact your Spirit and see what God would do. Brother Branham said sometimes he spoke on his own, sometimes he never spoke on his own. It was God speaking through him. He had leeway, but he never took opportunity to do anything which was incorrect against the things of God. Like he let his mother said, could you give these people help? So he said, woman, what have I to do with you? My time is not yet. But it was okay for him to turn water into wine, a little previous thing, symbolizing the wedding supper and things like that, marriage supper, things like that. He was allowed to do some things because he could do them. When it came to the Word of God, he just stood right there flat. He would never budge. Now look here. The Pharisees saw him do that. Right. That discrepancy right there amongst the Word. What did they say? This man is Beelzebub, a fortune teller. And Jesus said, who that speaketh on the Holy Ghost when it comes to do the same thing would never be forgiven. Now, Brother Branham places this right with the Gentiles. And he said, this is for this end time, wheat and tares, the seed of discrepancy manifested, and it'll manifest them through my ministry the same as it will manifest the wise virgin. All right? I'm going to go to Matthew 12 because that's where it is. He's not quoting any place but Matthew 12. Now, in Matthew 12, it says here in verse 15, Jesus had healed the man with a withered hand. They got so mad they're going to try to kill him because he did what they couldn't do. And then he said it was God. And because of the ministry, he could prove it was more God than they had. So therefore, they got to get rid of him. It was his word now against theirs. And they had no way to prove they had any power at all. Just get rid of him. Get rid of him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. That'll do it. So what happens? When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Man, he really turned the knife in. This, when he stuck the knife in, he turned it. Not just one person, the whole bunch of them. Like Brother Branham did that night in Canada. He charged them that they should not make him known. That it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, or Isaiah. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him. He'll show judgment to the Gentiles. Did he? Not at that time. He'll not strive nor cry. Is that a fact? He sure did. Neither a man hear his voice in the street. How about that? He stood in the street and yelled and preached the gospel. A bruised reed he shall not break. He sure did. A smoking flax he shall not quench. He sure did. Now, shall he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. It tells you right there that this is positively to the Gentiles. Now, what was previous in the healing, the manifestation that he was of God, and that this was of God, brought forth a response, and this is what he said. Now, go a little further. Then was brought to him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and healed. And insomuch blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people, and they said, is not this the son of David? This is not the Messiah, the one to come. The Pharisees said, don't be ridiculous. This is the other fellow. This is Beelzebub. The only reason he casts out devils, he's got the devil working on his side to fool the people. And when the devil and he work get together and cast out enough devils, they'll make you believe that this fellow's right. Hogwash, he's the devil himself. Devil can't cast out devil, his kingdom's divided. No way. The sign of casting out devils, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you by the casting out of devils. And Brother Branham's ministry is noted for the casting out of devils. And he revealed every devil in the place, cancer and otherwise, blind, deaf, and dumb spirits and so on, took authority over them. He said, I'll take under my authority every spirit in this building. 5,000, 5 million, there wasn't one could hide, one get away. The kingdom of heaven was nigh. To the Gentiles. Why, he said, Jesus knew their thoughts and said, every king divided against himself and brought to desolation. Every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall the kingdom stand? Well, Jesus knew that. The devil came and said, hey, bow down, worship me. Come on. I'll give you all. Give you all the kingdoms. Hey, they're yours for the taking. He didn't do it, but you know what happened? The church took it, didn't it? Paul said that by Christ in the church, God should get glory. What has the church done today? They've taken his name and cast out devils. And all the time, they're idolaters, Satan worshipers, they're idolaters in adultery, spiritually. See, you know what I'm saying? What Satan, Jesus forbade Satan. And Satan didn't get the worship. Now, the point is, if they're worshiping false gods, and false gods are of Satan, and using Jesus' name to cast out devils, is not Satan getting worshipped by Jesus Christ inadvertently and against the will of God? And people are going to pay for it. What a mess the church is in. Just think about it. I'm not saying this too perfectly and too clearly, but I'm just giving you the thought right here. The bride doesn't do that. The bride doesn't sell herself for gifts. She's under the word. She's under obedience. She's under vows. The foolish world church isn't. Now, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom your children cast them out, therefore should be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Here you are. Or else, how can one enter the strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, then he spoil his house? In other words, Satan's kingdom cannot be brought down until this ministry of the Son of Man returns to earth, right? And it's returned. Satan's house is falling. But the Bible said, they said, oh, look at what's happening. The devils are obedient. Everything's coming in line to us. And he said, Jesus just turned like a stone. And he said, I saw Lucifer fall from heaven. And Brother Branham said, that was that newborn church casting out devils. Satan's fallen right now. His kingdom is divided, whether he knows it or not. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto us. The strong man is bound by the stronger man. Soon we shall look upon him narrowly and say, who was this anyway? You don't tell me that bluff did all of that? That he bluffed millions of Protestants and Catholics? Billions of them? Billions of Muslims? Who had the nerve to say that Abraham offered Ishmael and not Isaac? Who had the nerve to take the devil's name and apply it to God and say it's God? Who had the nerve to take the first 5 books and claim that they were there? Is this the man that controlled the popes? Yeah, you better believe it. Now he said, he that is not with me is against me. Huh? Hey, we're talking about the Gentiles. I want to scare you. I want to wake you up. He that is not with me is against me. Else how can there be a judgment and condemnation? I want you to tell me. I'm a good listener. You got something to tell me. I want to ask a question. I'll sit there like a bump on a log. Listen. But don't you try to steer me wrong. I've got a man inside of me called Christ. He said, Brother Bill, I don't believe it. I do. I don't care what you believe. Not by works of righteousness that I have done now. By the shedding of the blood and the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whoso speaketh the word against the Son of Man shall be given him. Whoso shall speak against the Holy Ghost, not forgiven him, neither this word nor the word to come. Either make the tree good or not, and then go back to Matthew 7 and take it then to, right down to Matthew 24, and you're going to find that tree is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a perversion of the word of Almighty God that men are living off of, while the life that God gave it, they got to live on that life. Yeah, a bunch of lemons living off an orange tree. Taking their life, which wasn't their life to use. See? Now it tells you right here that this is to the Gentiles. This is the chapter to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles now are doing the same thing, crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh, not the Son of Man. No, that's why he said tribute for the Son of Man. No, you know why? They're not going to go against the Son of Man. They're not going to do that. They love the miracles, everything. They can't do that. They come against God and say, no, that's not God. That's not God. That's not what God does. That's not how God does it. We know because we're of God and He does it this way. See, they blaspheme. That's Hebrew 6. Hebrew 6 is now in divine order from Matthew 12. As I say, I don't know where Brother Branham was talking about Luke 22. It might have been a slip of the tongue. Maybe I can find it sometime. I really don't know. But I want you to know right here, it's the Gentiles. And it's in Matthew 4 and in Matthew 12. See, whoever spoke on that on the Holy Spirit when he came to the same would never be given, never be forgiven. That's right. Why? Because there's no repentance under Hebrew 6. This is Hebrew 6 to the Gentiles. How do I know? Because Israel gets a chance to repent, 144,000. Come on. Come on, get your facts lined up. Get your chronology right. See? But he said he'd forgive them because the Holy Spirit hadn't come to sacrifice, the Lamb hadn't died. See, ever since the first stage had been on dangerous ground, and the great danger is the end time when the Son of Man ministry comes through Almighty God Himself. Never mind the man, never mind the prophet. Get rid of William Branham if you want to, but you can't get rid of what was done and what was said because the man was under compulsion. He was under compulsion. That's how prophets are. But the woman didn't think that. The woman said, Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Now, how could a woman living with her sixth husband, living as a prostitute, siphoning off men's welfare for a little bit of sex, living like a hobo and a bum, she say, hey, you're a prophet. Didn't Jesus say the harlot goes in ahead of the Pharisees and scribes, the wise men? The good boys, so thoroughly organized. Brother Branham said the same thing. Well, if that's what he did, he's the same yesterday. No. Now we know the Messiah, which is called Christ, when he comes, that's what he's going to do. Do what? Stand there and discern and tell her all things. That's why you've got Samuel in the third chapter of Acts. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Then it goes right to Samuel. And Brother Branham always identified himself with whom? Samuel. Have ever told you a lie? Have ever taken your money? Have ever done this? Have ever done that? He was always identified with Samuel because Samuel was the prophet of the word which had been revealed but must be kept before the people or brought back to the people and shown categorically that he was that one. Prophet, high priest. That's a big type of the Holy Ghost right there. Holy Spirit revealing from the high priest. See? We got it right today. William Branham stood right for Jesus Christ as though he were in the flesh. Well, what if he did then? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He'll do the same thing. He'll discern. That's how he made himself known. Isn't that the same thing today? Has to be. Now, here's a woman. A man meets again. She's not a woman. I'm not a man. She's not that woman. I'm not that man. But yet the Holy Spirit is here and made the promise that the works he did, we do the same thing in the last days, that the Son of Man be revealed. Now, not knowing you, and that's true, or total strangers, you standing there, maybe something wrong with you, maybe there's not, I don't know. But if the Lord Jesus will reveal it to me by His Spirit, what is your trouble? Will you believe then it is the Son of God, not a human being? And the Son of God, of course, that's always the term of the Holy Ghost. You've got to watch some of this terminology. Brother Branham uses that in another place. I forget where it is, but it's actually in the Bible. It's in Romans, the first chapter. Will you believe then it's the Son of God, not a human being? This is just a hull, this tabernacle, that God uses. Anyone He chooses, anyone He's chosen to use, He'll use them. He does that by sovereign grace and election. But will you believe? Will you? How many of the audience will believe it? Here we both stand here before the lights. Now you see, this is the thing where they're going to say they did, but they didn't, because they never had an ounce of understanding. This is the tough part in His ministry until you really knew what He was dealing with. There wasn't a way that you could really fathom this. You had to know this. How many of you believe it? Here we both stand right here before the lights that never met in this life. Have no more idea who this woman is, what she is, where she came from, what she wants. I've never seen her in my life. No more than I've ever seen that woman down there in my life. But see, here's what I'm trying to do to get that discrepancy away from you now. Discrepancy? What? You say you believe the Word, but you believe it wrong. He said, I'm not saying you don't believe the Word, but you really don't believe the Word because you don't believe the Word as it's manifested in review, because God's His own revealer, and God reveals and makes clear, interprets His Word by manifesting it. And I'm manifesting to you what Genesis 18 is, which is Hebrews 13 and 8, which is not Mark 16. That's for the church. And it's not a fivefold ministry. It's above the fivefold ministry is what you're looking at, see? All right, now, but here, trying to get the discrepancy away from you, and believe the Word, when the Word is made flesh right here amongst us. William Branham says, I am the prophet as the Word of God made manifest. God in human flesh, promised and once more. The Word becomes alive in our own flesh. That shows the presence of God. See, now we're going to have to go back over this here, and then take it down to here, if we ever get back tomorrow morning. Take it right back to here. To show you the continuity. And the continuity is what? It is absolutely chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your kind consideration, giving us strength of this hour to come together, Lord, in the blessed hour of Your Spirit dealing with us, helping us with the Word, which we feel we've had a wonderful time together, just talking about these things which are so near and dear to us, Lord, and just keep bringing out the impact of that Word coming into its full hour of power, which, Lord, we even feel we're a part of Matthew 12. We believe it, that we know it by the what you might call the actual numerics of the Bible. We know, Lord, it's there. We know it's written. We know it's right down there in front of us, a matter of mechanics. But we also know now that this is what we believe, and this is what we stand for, and we see that this is right. And we have all the ramifications of truth in there. So we're praying and believing that this is the reality we asked You about, and getting more and more in depth into godliness and not being ashamed of it to show it or anything else, but just walking in the light, and the light expanding all the time within us until the darkness is all gone and the flesh is under complete control. Oh, we're no longer sensual, no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, which is what You long for, what we long for. All the minds merging together with the mind of Christ, and the dead coming out of the ground, the rapture taking place. Perhaps, Lord, that merging of the mind will not be perfect until Brother Branham comes back and the dead with him in that first age. We do not try to set any times or limitations. We just know, Lord, that's the Word, and we're praying to be part of it. And we accept that tonight from what we read and what we have seen of the prophet's ministry and know. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go. I had some thoughts on communion a while ago. That is before I left here, and they all slipped my mind. But the slipping of my mind isn't anything too bad, really. But we're going to just take a little look here. And we want to go to a very strange place. And the strange place, believe it or not, is Revelation chapter 13, which is the United States, 13 colonies, 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13 everything. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns upon his horns, 10 crowns upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Names of blasphemy and blasphemous names. And they are blasphemous names. Pentecost, Baptist, Methodist, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventist, you name it. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. It's Daniel's vision repeated. The feet of a bear, mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Of course, we know that was the Roman Empire came back to life under Papal Rome. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There is given unto him mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power is given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. And them that dwell in heaven, it was given unto him to make war with the saints, overcome them in power. And power was given over all him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth in captivity shall go to captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now you notice in there, there's a little interjection of something which is very wonderful and vital. And it says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now that goes with the verses above, and it's pretty horrible. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, I'm putting the Lamb's book of life and the blood together. And you know, except that we had the definitive revelation from the definitive God who vindicated himself to the prophet, vindicated the prophet to us, and vindicated the living word of God as to be the real and perfect revelation of that word, so that which is perfect has come, we would not be anything but a part of this. We would be a part of that. And the reason we are not a part of it is because it tells you here the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that's what we are looking at. We are looking at a man named Christ Jesus, who was the tabernacle of God until the Garden of Gethsemane, who, when he was with the disciples just previous to entering the garden, took bread and broke it and passed it around and said, this is my body, which is broken for you, eat this in remembrance of me. And then he took the wine and he gave each one a drink from the goblet and he said, drink this. He said, this is the life that was shed forth and spent for you, and you're to drink this in remembrance of me. And he said, I won't drink this again until I drink this and you with you in the kingdom. And there's a promise there. Now, if you're noticing here that every single thing which is in the book of Revelation, all these plagues, all the judgments, every single thing devolves upon everybody but those whose names are in the Lamb book.